Hey. Okay, so I got a better microphone. And it has a little fuzzy wind condom on it. So my breath shouldn't be so noticeable. But it's going to be like this. Riveting. All right. So I'm Kristen. Hi. There's apparently people other than me subscribing to my own podcast. And so, it's a little frightening. The reason that you're not hearing the show from Wednesday, is because the Wednesday show really sucked. I still might put it up with some editing, but it sucked. And of course, that one had to be the one that my teacher of my drawing materials and techniques class, Richard Deutsch, who is a great teacher and is a great person, a great man. Of course, he catches that one. And so the first thing he says to me as I go into class today is, Paul Anka? Because I played the Paul Anka cover of Smells Like Teen Spirit. And so, yeah. Out of my 5 viewers, or 5 listeners from that night, that was really great. And then there was some person from, I think, Berwyn, Illinois, I'm not sure, who, like, started in the little chat window, which really doesn't work out very well for me, having a chat window going on as I'm trying to do, like, a talk radio thing. He starts talking about, or starts typing, like, oh, well, you know, don't you think that you should be doing something more alternative and, you know, do art news and culture news and that people can get their news elsewhere, their, you know, this mainstream stuff and blah, blah, blah. And so I guess I just don't deal well with someone questioning the basis for my entire show during my show, partially because I'm like in the middle of a depression and so I don't deal well with criticism in the first place currently, but also because the show wasn't very well put together in the first place for that night, and then there weren't very many listeners, and I got distracted from having a conversation with the girl whose show is before me, which is really great. So check it out from 5 until 6 on freeradiosaic.org. Internet radio, I think podcasts are going to work much, much better. But we have an internet radio station, and I'm the only person who is talking about podcasts and initiating one in my own little world here. So yeah, the Wednesday show sucked. I didn't really get much of the stuff that I wanted to cover in, but so things happen. Okay, so, you can hear in the background, I'm still watching this Dateline NBC, because I watch TV on Friday nights. I'm sorry, I really don't have much of a life, and so I'm watching this Dateline hour-long, expose on predators, internet predators. Sorry. This really shouldn't be funny. Like, these are men who came to a building or came to a home with the expectation of having sex with either a young girl or a young boy. So it's very serious and very awful, and they keep saying perverted. One guy, like, came in and he was told in the online chat to Special Guy 29. Apparently his name is now Special Guy 29. He was told to, in the chat, he was told to, when he got to the house, to go in the side door, into the garage, strip down to his underwear, and then go into the house, while bringing beer. And apparently everyone's bringing Corona. I don't know why. Corona's not that great. And so it's this, like, sheepish guy who kind of looks like a heavier Buster from Arrested Development, sitting there naked, and then this Dateline NBC guy comes in with, like, a suit and everything, and luckily a towel, and talks to Special Guy 29, who is a bus driver, and then he's a teacher, which either one of those just sounds great. Can't you just say I'm a construction worker? Or I'm a telesales operator. Something that doesn't involve children. Just say, I'm a school bus driver. I run a daycare center. I rape babies. Something just perverse. So yeah, it looks like a very interesting and powerful documentary expose on internet child predators. It just makes me laugh. It makes me laugh, like, laughing during a funeral, and I can't help it. Especially now that this guy who was the naked guy is called Special Guy 29. Because he's special. Because he was the one who went naked. Oh, God. Okay. I'm gonna go get some of my extra strong coffee. Oh, I'll tell you about my extra strong coffee. I had made some coffee with the last of the coffee beans that I had this morning, and made vaguely around half a pot or so. It was weak ass coffee. It was it was not good, but it was coffee. And so when I was coming back from class, and I stopped up off at Staples and bought, another printer cartridge, this microphone headset thing, and some coffee, because I'm lazy and I'm the reason that convenience stores were created. So I buy some coffee from Staples, and they carry Starbucks coffee. And I bought Starbucks coffee out of spite. To finish the story of the with the really strong coffee. So I put in like a full filter of coffee grounds, and then put the half a pot that I had left over into the back of the coffee machine, and then filled it the rest of the way with water. And so now it's running, so it's gonna be extra strong, kick-ass coffee. Good Swedish coffee made from Starbucks beans. So my ex-boyfriend was very, very anti-Starbucks. So anti-Starbucks that even when this woman from Nokia gave me a $5 Starbucks gift certificate or gift card for just doing this stupid poll that ended up with me saying, Nokia phones suck, and I'm tired of hearing that ring. So she gives me this complimentary gift card and whatever, and so I was telling my boyfriend at the time how I was in a cab and I couldn't find my money, and so I gave the cab driver this $5 gift card instead of paying him real money. And I got this, like, disapproving grrr from him. And so he's very anti-Starbucks, is anti-sweatshop, and I'm not a big fan of Starbucks. My best friend is against Starbucks. Zach up in Madison. Very anti-Starbucks. I mean, you know, I would much rather buy my coffee from the little Swedish deli, Wickstrom's or something. They're online. I'll find that. Ooh, I could link that on the web or on the blog. I would much rather have their coffee. Much rather have good Swedish, you know, even imported Swedish coffee. Just, oh, smells so good and it kicks your ass. But I've recently been going to Starbucks a little bit. And it's part of, I guess, my grieving process for a long-distance relationship, in that like there's no changes in my daily activity that much from when I was dating my ex-boyfriend to now. I don't talk on the phone. I can watch television shows from 8 until 9, like Lost, without fear of condemnation. I can watch The Daily Show and not worry and feel and be happy that anyone who knows me knows that I won't talk during those times, and they know not to call me during those times. It's like in high school with the X-Files. People called me during the X-Files as a joke, because they knew it would piss me off, and I'm a good reactionary putz. But they knew I wouldn't answer. And so, you know, funny, but I'm equally dedicated to watching The Daily Show and whatnot. So yeah, the grieving process of a long distance relationship. It's not like I'm not hanging out with the same people, not doing things with the ex-boyfriend anymore. It's not like, you know, it's very difficult to kind of have the breakup manifest itself, you know, in your reality when it was kind of virtual for a large portion of it to begin with. And I consciously, you know, avoided Starbucks while we were dating. I was subconsciously avoiding Starbucks before we started dating. And now I guess I just consciously go to Starbucks to get like a pumpkin spice frappuccino thing, because I really like pumpkin spice, like all those seasonal pumpkin-y things. Yeah, so I went to Starbucks and got one of those twice, and then I bought ridiculously expensive Starbucks coffee from Staples. I didn't even go to one of the 3 Starbucks around my dorm. I just went when I was in Staples and bought it. Oh. And yeah, it makes me laugh. For some reason, I feel like I'm getting back at him. I don't know. Maybe I should go and buy some Nike shoes. Actually, my shoes are Nike. Ooh. Maybe I should go buy some new shoes. What else can I do that would in some way feel like I was getting retribution for being dumped? He was like, anti-sweatshops. But, you know, I don't want to, like, yay, sweatshops. Why? Because my ex-boyfriend said, boo, sweatshops. It's like, oh, he didn't like Hitler, so yay, Hitler. No. Need something better than that. He was a Unitarian, so I could just become an extreme Christian, but I don't think that would fly with my father that much. He's an Old Testament scholar, and so religion is academic. And belief is academic, and emotional support is academic. Well, the main thing is that he's still alive, though, you know, not a part of my life, because he doesn't call me even to see how I am, even though we were friends before, and no, I'm not bitter. So he still lives in New York, and I think he's so attached to New York because of his family. He was raised in Indiana, and not exactly a metropolis there. And so I think he's extra super attached to New York in order to distance himself even further from his parents and his childhood in general. Which, you know, if it works for you, great. But even though I've lived in New York City for a little while, and I've lived now in Chicago for coming up on a year, and then the rest of the towns that I've always lived in, I mean, Billings in Montana, it was roughly, I don't know, like 120,000, 190,000. Relatively small for what people here would think of as a city. But, you know, it was decent. And then I lived in Livingston and Bozeman. And, I mean, Bozeman, 30,000 people when school is in session, I think. And then Livingston, which, you know, well, during the winter, practically no one lives there. And during the summer, it's, you know, everyone lives there, plus just an inordinate amount of tourists coming in. And I'm happy that I'm missing part of the Lewis and Clark extravaganza going on, because I had to bear with it for part of last summer in Livingston, and I just can't do that anymore. I can edit sound about Lewis and Clark, and I can hear information about Lewis and Clark, but I just... Calamity Jane. Doing dinner theater in a basement of a motel is really depressing. So yeah, I mean, I've lived in small places, and I've lived in the West or Midwest, whatever you want to call it, and, you know, I much prefer places that have a good transit system, mass transit, partially because I don't drive, and I like bigger cities, cities that have things to do, school, lots of different people, some bustle to it, I mean, more culture, more places to explore, interesting architecture, etc. But I'm not going to turn my nose up and simultaneously look down on the Midwest or on or on suburban living or on rural living, because I've met those people. I don't consider myself to be any one of those people, even a metropolitan person. I've said it a million times to different people, but I do the same things in Chicago and New York and Bozeman and Livingston as I do in any other town. I go watch movies. I listen to music. I go to karaoke. I like to walk around. There's go to restaurants. Like, there's no difference to it. It's just the amount of things there. And it's nice to have a larger amount here. But I've been friends with these people. I mean, with people who wear baseball hats and have night jobs, or, you know, have missing teeth from I have no idea what. Who don't have computers, who don't know, I mean, who like Toby Keith songs and sing them at karaoke. I've been friends with those people, and I've hung out with them, and I've drank beer with them, and had a good time, and bonded. And so there's no way that I'm going to be on some high perch of cultural and moral superiority while I live here in Chicago or in any large city at the people who I've been friends with and say, like, oh, well, my life is so much better. Because that's not for me to judge. Not saying that I don't judge it sometimes, but I usually end up losing if I judge my life in comparison to other people's lives. So maybe it's not too bad. It's not so bad if I judge. But I'm not going to look down on those people and think, oh, they're red staters. Oh, they don't know anything, blah, blah, blah. And I think there's definitely an elitism that goes on in larger cities, and especially New York. And my ex-boyfriend has it. And I got pissed off at a party, a little dinner party that we went to, because they're making jokes about, you know, stuff about people, I don't know, out of reach of the 1 or 9. And it was just like that New Yorker cartoon where the world or the map of the U.S. is Manhattan, River, Brooklyn, Chicago, and then there's LA. There is more to it than that, and anyone who would minimize someone's life or someone's importance or someone's value, it's just, it's sad, and it's outrageous as well, and part of me can't believe I dated someone who kind of has that viewpoint. It's like when I went out on a horrible, horrible date when I was at NYU, and we went to some, I don't know, reenactment of a screenplay or something ridiculous, and then went to a little restaurant, coffee shop on St. Mark's, and I have no idea what he was talking about except that he said, you know, I think anyone who doesn't live in the New York metropolitan area is sheltered, is kind of stupid. I'm not going to attempt to say that's a quote, but it's basically saying that, like, people from across the river were dull, culturally sheltered, politically sheltered, just that, no, everyone over there is stupid, and we kick your ass. And this guy knows I'm from Montana. I don't know what his deal is, and I know that I have issues, but what? I'm sitting right there. I can't stand that kind of moral superiority, if you haven't noticed yet.